Dear God, we thank you in the wonderful name of your Son, Jesus, and we know that you are that wonderful, awesome power that enables us and is our all-sufficiency in everything. Now, God, I just sense a need for liberty in this place today. Help us to recognize our liberty in you. Help us to know how free that you have made us. Lord, it's in that wondrous blood. It's all in the cross. May we embrace that cross today. Know that you are there. We're there for us. Praise God. Now we do just give you the thanks for that, dear Lord. We thank you again that you saw us, that we were that joy that you so sweetly saw as you hung and died upon that cross. God, help us to take that love and to run well this morning. Send the Holy Spirit. Anoint the Word. Anoint each and every life. Let us enjoy the Lord and enjoy the love of the Lord this morning. Thank you for the fellowship. Thank you, Lord, that you're here. And we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Now today, we have reached the conclusion of the vessel. We've been studying about this the last couple Sundays. We've rejoiced in the pouring in. We've been thankful for the sustaining of the contents of what God puts into our life. And now it's the climax because it truly is the pouring out. This, brothers and sisters, is the vessel that's prepared, the vessel that's been readied, the vessel that's been stirred, and now it's the vessel that is ready to be offered. And I believe some of you know right where we're going, and that's in 2 Timothy. We're going to chapter 4, and we'll begin reading from verse 6. That's 2 Timothy, chapter 4, verse 6. This is Brother Paul and his triumphant farewell. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. And all I can say is, all that in Christ, what want I more? We could never even begin to search this. But praise the Lord, in faith, he just brings it so sweetly. And we realize what a day by grace that rejoicing will be when the Savior who loves us so, brothers and sisters, will show forth his exceeding riches of his glory and grace in and through his vessels of mercy. And you are today, if you're a child of God, you are a vessel of mercy. Nothing else but his mercy, his infinite grace, could ever bring the love of God into your life. Now, I recognize that there are many wondrous types of this pouring out. I do want you to know that there are other thoughts within the Word of God. There's David's distress call of the pouring out in Psalms 22. There's the wonderful outpouring by the grace of God over and over in our life that is a necessity that needs to be there to edify, to promote spiritual growth in the body of Christ. We need to be that kind of vessel that the Word of God is brought into, the Word of God is stored, and yet the Word of God also pours out. Brother Hill used to bring that many times. We want to be like that Sea of Galilee that is teeming with life. It's got fish all over it because it receives, it holds, and it gives out. Water has to come in, and water has to come out of this life if it's ever going to be fruitful. I know Christians that do have somewhat of a knowledge, and a very good knowledge, of the deeper things of God. But they don't want to come in fellowship. They don't want to live the joy of the Lord being their strength. And I believe they're missing it. When the Word of God tells you to forsake not the assembling or the gathering of yourselves together as you see that day approaching, and you're not getting yourself into church, you're missing something. There's a need There's a quickening going on. There's a love that you can't explain. There is a time in my life I didn't feel like going to church very much either. By the grace of God, He still brought me in. But I'm so thankful I come for years now into this place. Joyous, thankful, grateful. Knowing that this is the gift of gifts that God is putting in my heart this day. That He has drawn me into the house of the Lord. To hear the Word of God, but also get a fullness of it and fellowship. Been so encouraged with that, brothers and sisters. You've heard me kind of jokingly say, but it's very true. Some of you in the front get to know the ones in the back, and on this side get to know that side. It's amazing. We get in our fixtured places and we never move. Let the love of God move you. Open up your life to it. It's amazing what you'll find as you keep your eyes upon Him. But this is what God is doing, and this is what God is bringing in. But brothers and sisters, I hope the love of God does constrain us today. Because I'm expecting from Him, because we're going to talk about the ultimate outpouring. We're going to talk about Christians getting ready to take flight. Christians getting ready to get out of here. Praise God. Vessels ready. As we read here, the time is at hand. And it's been so encouraging, I have to tell you, to see some of the brothers and sisters in this meeting that are being prepared to take flight. They might be a little bit older. They might be a little bit sickly. But I'm not just limited to that. I'm talking about the ones that have the eyes of the dove, that I also see the eyes of that eagle that's getting ready to mount up and get on out of here. And it's a marvel. See, nothing's hard for God. You talk about the Lord to most Christians. And yes, I love the Lord. I love my Bible. I love going to church. But is it a reality to you that Jesus Christ is coming soon? Nothing's hard for God. How simple it is for Him. I am the resurrection and the life. He showed that with Lazarus. They were all panicking and sad. Oh Lord, if You would have just come a little bit sooner, He wouldn't have had to do that. No. You be patient, be still, and know that I am God. And that's why He wept. I'm confident that's why He wept. He weeps when we doubt Him. He weeps when we don't have faith. He weeps when we don't trust Him fully. That there's a prepared time. And we're in preparing time. And He's about to come. Don't think it out of question. Don't think it some fairy tale of a somewhere. Jesus is coming. And He is coming soon. And He is going to appear to them. There's a key to them that are looking for Him. Oh, that's the key that opens heaven up for your life. It does. That door has been set widely open for you. Jesus is coming again. And He says, all you have to do is be looking for Me. Don't be caught up into the things of this world. They're not that important. There'll be things that I'm going to allow you to go through because you have to get ready. I want you fully ready to see Me. I don't want you just as a baby. I want you as a fully matured son of God. I want you to come into that kind of fellowship with Me. And I want you to rejoice in it now so that you can fully praise Me and fully enter into the things of the exceeding riches of My grace and glory. When I do come for you. Is that what you're expecting today? I hope it is. I hope this is the very pouring out that God is putting in your life. But I look at these different ones in this meeting. And I see the gleam that's in their eye. I start to see quickening like never before. And it is. I'm about to see Jesus face to face. How could you expect them not wanting to go? They're about to see Jesus face to face. You need to start talking to some of these folks. I'm telling you, sometimes people get real sickly and you get sad and you don't want to go visit with them. Go talk to them. Go get excited. The excitement about that, you know what? They may be seeing Jesus pretty soon. Nothing better, man. Just isn't. We know it. Because we know the Word of God. We know that He's for us. We know that, Lord, You're the author and finisher of my faith. I'm not going to take one more breath or one less breath than You want me to take upon the face of this earth. But You're coming. And You're coming soon. And praise God, I want my eyes on Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. So in that, I say, brothers and sisters, and the Word asks us, are we ready? And specifically, are we ready? Are we ready to be offered? To be those that'll be poured out in the first trump. To be those that'll be poured out to meet the Lord in the air. I think about it. Catching the first flight out of here. Everybody tries to get the first flight. I think so. I want that by the grace of God. I don't want the last train out. And we've been reading about those that'll be seated in that airmail delivery. They're vessels of sanctification and honor. Think about that. Sanctification and honor. We have read about and realized that this sanctification is separated unto God. And the honorable part is that we suffer together with Him. A vessel that's stretched, pressed out of measure, even despairing of your own life. Brother Paul went through these things because he said, you can have a reward like mine. And don't think it strange, brothers and sisters. There's going to be fiery trial in your life. There is. It's going to be there. God gave us a divine plan. He told us so perfectly what we would go through. And I want the testing in my life. I've come to the place, Lord, I know You'll bring it. Because I love You. And most importantly, because You love me. And for that completeness of love to be bonded together, brothers and sisters, we are going to have to suffer jointly with Him. But separated to God, I think of this stretching and this pressing that He's doing. We get to be formed so perfectly, so exactly, that this pouring out becomes poured right into the wedding dress. Isn't that wonderful? I start talking about that to people. I said, well, I'm going to be poured right into that dress. And a lot of images come to mind. And you know one thing I say? We need to start getting free in the Lord. Really, we need to start getting free in Him. I say, ooh-wee, what Jesus Christ sees in me. Do you realize in the Song of Solomon, he says, she has ravished my heart. It's okay to blush. It's all right. If you've ever been in love, I hope you understand what ravished means. But most importantly, with Jesus. And it says with just one of her eyes, she ravishes Him. It's just a glance. I'm hoping you understand how He loves you. It's beyond. And let Him take you in. People don't want to hear these types of things because they don't know the Word of God. Oh, that sounds strange to me. You know what? I'm thankful in a way it sounds strange to you. It's about time you hear it. It's about time you understand how perfectly God made the example of a man and a woman in this day and age and how beautiful it can be, the uniting of our lives together, that oneness that can be there. And that truly, a wife can ravish the heart of a husband. That's what He sees in you. If you would just realize when He talks about treasure and earthen vessel, He has put that in your life. You just needed to let it grow up. Like I've told Mom, every baby she's ever seen, they're the most beautiful baby. I don't want to touch that one. But babies are beautiful. There's a beauty in them, isn't there? The skin, they're soft, they're wonderful. But that'll never ravish your heart. Baby never ravished that heart. Baby will thrill your heart. Baby will excite your heart. But it's going to take that full-grown, beautiful, fully furnished woman that's going to ravish His heart in every way. He talks about her eyes. He talks about her skin. He talks about her teeth. He talks about her hair. He talks about her body. He talks about everything about her because he's completely in love with her. He can't get her off of his mind. He can't get you off of his mind. If we'll just begin to see what he sees, and that's all he's asking. And that's why I tell you about the excitement of knowing the Word of God. You don't just read the Word of God. No. It's alive. It's got to sing to you. It speaks to you. And you say, well, brother, I've never had that happen. Have an open heart to it. He'll bring it to you. Believe Him at His Word. Let Him take you there. You're seated there. You're never going to really hear anybody unless you sit next to them. I'm telling you, you're seated there. Just open your eyes and enjoy. Enjoy the love letters that He'll reach you. Oh my. You know, people say, teach us application, brother. I'll tell you what, this is the application of applications. Do you realize if you'll live a departed life, I'm telling you, a life that is ready for departure, you know the things that'll happen? Brother Paul, we just read about them. You'll grow up. You'll fight a good fight. You'll finish a course. You'll be more than a conqueror in Christ. Praise God. And most importantly, you'll keep the faith. It'll be real to you. That's keeping the faith. It's already there. God does it. All He wants you to do is believe it. Allow it to become alive in your life. Praise the Lord. Acts 9:15 says, therefore, He is a chosen vessel unto me. Now the Lord was talking, speaking this to Paul. Have to watch this. Sometimes my language gets a little ahead of the encouragement. But He was speaking that to Paul right after his conversion. And it was so precious, his brother about Paul, And he said, He is a chosen vessel unto me. So wonderful. God knew exactly what He was doing. You have to think about it. This was a man that was going out there and taking Christians, imprisoning them, killing them. And you got a chance, I assure you. I don't think anybody else is doing that today. See, this is God's infinite grace. He says, He's a chosen vessel unto me. He knew exactly what He was doing. He took the chiefest sinners, took him from a dung heap, praise God, and He created this wonderful vessel, a chosen vessel, and put him in the very midst of a throne someday by the grace of God. Isn't that wonderful? See what God can do? Only God can do that. And brothers and sisters, I have to tell you, it's been hard to kind of keep till now. Last week I almost exploded with it, but so mighty. The very definition of that vessel, the very greatest definition, and I appreciated my sister who quickened that thought to me again. Heard it a long time back, and I hadn't heard it for a long time. But see, that's the strumming of the chords of your heart that God does. The definition of vessel is contributing to the usefulness of her husband. Did you hear that? Go look it up. It's there in your Strong's. It's contributing to the usefulness of her husband. Now that's the vessel I want to be. How about you? That's the vessel I pray to God that He creates in this life. That wants to contribute to the usefulness of this message. And I'm telling you, yes, it blows my mind. I can't conceive that. We sit here and say, well, how could God love me that much? Well, He just does. And the only way that I could ever receive that is He tells me, I've got to go boldly into that throne of grace. I've got to go boldly in there. And then He tells me this specifically. He says, He who comes to me must believe that I am, that He is. So I got to get grace to believe that, don't I? We're talking about God. We're talking about faith. Everybody wants to worship something that they can see. This isn't that. This is faith. This is beyond that. I understand anything I see is temporal. God tells me that. Everything these eyes see, it's going to be gone. That's why I love God. I want something better. How about you? No offense, but He tells me there is. But But I believe that God is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And I'm telling you, in that throne room, man, I'm finding it out. I'm finding out that yes, He does want to reward me. Yes, He does want to give me His love. Yes, He is giving me everything and has blessed me with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. And I am thankful that I do believe that I can contribute to the usefulness of, by the grace of God, my future husband. What about that? Yes. I'm part of the Word of God. How about you? Listen to His Word. He's written me in here. He saw you before the foundations of the world. And He called you my love. And He's calling you my fair one. And He's told you to come away. And He said, come out from among them. And He said, I want to put you on a throne with me. Only God. Only God. Praise His name, what He's doing. And aren't you thankful? Aren't you so thankful? I appreciate. I love Brother Paul, and I thank God how gracious the Lord had made that brother. He is a chosen vessel. I would have rejoiced if he said he was the chosen vessel. I think I would have. But he's just a chosen vessel. Because there's going to be other chosen vessels. And sweet brother Paul was rejoicing for me when he said here in the 8th verse, what we already read, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And I glory for brother Paul. And he glories for me, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. And today, by the grace of God, I can say boldly, I love his appearing. I am looking for his appearing. I know it's only by grace. And tomorrow, if he tarry, brother, I'm going to wake up and I'm going to say, Lord, encourage me today to love your appearing. It's something that has to go on every day. It's something that has to go on every moment. And He can quicken you like that. He can. But you just have to believe Him. See, we again think that we're going to find something better in something else. That something's more fun. That something's more exciting. The problem is, you have never fully tried God. You haven't. Because you'll try it. And you'll taste and see. And you'll find out that the Lord is good. You will. And the more you taste and see of Him, the more wonderful you'll see that He is. And you'll enter into that. David, it took him a long time. I don't want to take that long. I want to go into the courts of the Lord today. And I want to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I do. I want to just dwell there. See, that's the sanctified vessels, brothers and sisters. They allow Him to set them apart. They just say, Lord, you love me so. I do. I see it. See, we've got to quit thinking about my love for Him and just focus on His love for me. I'm going to tell you, it'll happen. It will happen. We talked about so many weeks ago, I appreciate anybody that loves the Lord. But until you find out you're not the promise keeper that He is, the promises are never going to be kept in your life. It just ain't going to happen. Until I realize that His love is forever. And it's a love that 'll never let me go. And that my beloved is mine is a wonderful thought. But that I am my beloved's. And His desire is toward me. Then I'm going to get somewhere. Then I'm going to get somewhere. It's about His love, brothers and sisters. It is. If it was anything about my desire, it would take away from it. I appreciate to be able to say, I love you, Jesus. But I'm beginning to thrill, and Lord, you love me. I hope that doesn't offend you. You know why? Because He loves you. And He loves you just as much. He does. And that's the thing we have to realize is, brothers and sisters of like faith, He loves us. He sent the Son. He's no respecter of person. His love is without dissimulation. There's no hypocrisy in that love. And if there's anything, He loves the lowest. So I hope that even makes you feel better. Because I'm getting lower and lower all the time in a way. I'm decreasing. I'm becoming useless to this world. Can you imagine? Old people used to call me all the time and say, "Oh, brother." Well, they didn't say, "Oh, brother." What can you do for me today? Oh, where should I put this? Where should I invest that? Can you come over and help me to maybe figure out how to do this or that a little bit? Don't get those calls no more. I'm excited. I'm becoming useless. Oh, I'm excited. Only God could do that. I was telling my brother, I get so useless, I'm walking around the house and I just get in the way. And he just says, "Son, go sit in that chair and look at the tree. Let me just talk to you for a while, boy." It's becoming oh so real. Contributing to the usefulness of her husband, brothers and sisters, these are vessels that know Him. These are vessels that are contributing to the usefulness of the very plan of God. I hope you're listening to this. This is exciting, amazing, transforming things. These are the vessels that understand the very purpose of God. It's the vessels that know the very ways of God. The vessels that know the very fellowship of God. And a lot of people say, "Oh, I want to know that fellowship." Well, I hope you do. Because it's the fellowship of His sufferings. It's the power of His resurrection. It's even being made conformable unto His very death. And the only way that you're ever going to want a fellowship in that, I'm going to tell you, is one way. You're in love with His love for you. I always used to love to hear that story about that wealthy princess as she sat in that castle. Every earthly, worldly want was at her command. She could get it at any time. Every prince wanted her hand. But yet there was a man that loved her. And she knew his love was real. But he didn't have anything. He had no goods, he had no land, he had no title. But yet she loved him. And she loved him so that she was willing to go. She was willing to leave that she knew could never give her the wealth of that love. See, and brothers and sisters, I really do believe we need to see the wealth in Christ's love. That the worldly wants, the worldly desires, even if you did live in a palace, it's nothing. It's nothing compared to His love. Now, I know that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Let me tell you something. There's benefit and blessing beyond within that love. But it's just the love. This in Christ, what, one time more? It's just the love. See, this is the marriage of marriages. Christ poured out on that cross, making her, by the grace of God, conformable to that death. We embrace it all, brothers and sisters, when we embrace Calvary. We have to love that. We love that death. In that death, everything was finished. In that death for me, everything began. In that death, I know that Christ Jesus saw the family that He would bring forth as His own. And most importantly, in that death, I know that He knew that He would bring forth that bride, that she would be prepared. See, it's inevitable we're going to meet God. It's inevitable that someday we will stand before our wonderful God. And I think as I grew up, and I don't know how many of you heard that poem, and I thought it was a nice poem for some years, but then I thought, what a tragedy. It's called, "Don't Go Gently Into the Night." You ever heard that? Famous poet, Dylan Thomas. "Don't Go Gently Into the Night." And what he's talking about there is fight against death. Do everything that you could to prevent death in your life. You read about the life of that man. Sad, sad. And I thought, as opposed to it being a fearful time, I'm so thankful I have the Word of God. I look out again, Brother Ron, who, by the grace of God, he might depart from us shortly. Who knows? But you know what? I just might too. Do you realize that you're but a step between you and death? You better realize that. You better understand that He could keep you with a heart, without a heart, with a cancer, without a cancer. You might live better and feel better with cancer in your body. Oh, how could you say that? Because I know God. I don't know for how many years God had cancer in Brother Hill. I don't know. All I know is when I talked to that doctor and I asked him, he said, some years. Well, maybe that's how he lived to be 95. Huh? What do you think? You don't know God. Don't question God. His ways aren't your ways. He'll use things. Well, I don't want to get caught off into that, but I hope He takes you in spirit where we're going. Praise the Lord. But see, this is the revelation, praise the Lord, that His desire is towards me has arrived, brothers and sisters. But as opposed to this being the most fearful time, this word specifically through Brother Paul, it tells us that departure is the most glorious, the most anticipated, the most exciting moment of our lives, because we're going to be face to face with Jesus Christ. Oh, I hope that gives you hope. I do not want to see Christians murmuring when they're about to see Jesus. No reason to. Don't let the enemy get that last one kind of in on you. It's a glorious time. For me to live, Christ. And get rid of that word "is." It's just Christ. Praise the Lord. The life I now live. Oh yes. It's Christ liveth in me. Isn't that wonderful? He lives in me. I start embracing that, and then I understand that it's Christ in me is the hope of glory. And then I start to understand that then I become a vessel that is spent daily overflowing in Christ in me. And then I can honestly say, and to die is gain. Get me out of here, Lord. Now on your time. I don't want anybody want to accelerate that process. And I think what's going on over at this assembly and people going off, but hey, on His time. Oh, I look forward to that day. I do. I praise God. Now, I know He's got me here. You've heard me say, and sometimes I get excited about this kind of stuff, and my kids used to worry. They don't worry no more. Daddy's got an insurance policy. No, I'm just teasing. That was bad to say. All right. Kind of funny, but never mind. Because they're knowing Jesus. They're knowing Jesus. And see, they're trusting, instead of fearing that, you know, Dad's going to die, how about trusting God that He's going to keep my daddy? How about instead of living in fear that I'm not going to have enough, that He's my all-sufficiency? Huh? How about instead of fearing, oh, I'm going to die, how about glory, glory to me? I'm about ready to step into. Amen. You're looking at a brother, I'm telling you. I'm excited about getting older. I am. I honestly am. Praise God, I'm as immature as anybody you'll ever meet in a lot of ways. But I'm excited. It's one day closer. One less breath here. No, how He's going to take my breath away over there, isn't He? That's the realness of it all. The very moment when He takes this life and He's going to pour it out. Hallelujah. Pouring it out face to face with the One who loves me so. In a moment of time, in a twinkling of an eye, the Word of God says, I'm going to be face to face with Him. Going to take flight. By the grace of God, whether it's by the grave. Honestly, that sting and that death that's been taken care of in Him, it is finished. Devil's good is wrapped up. We have to understand that and live that victory. That's faith. The deciding of the game and the victory has already been done. Just hadn't completely played out yet, but you know what? It's all on Him. It's all on Him, and in that, I don't ever mean to call it a bet, but I'm laying it all on Him. And it's a sure thing. Because it's already done. It's already finished. Praise God. And in a moment, I'm going to step into glory. I'm going to get out of this thing. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm going to say goodbye, temporal. And I'm so thankful this is temporal. Woo ye. It's been a good time because of Jesus. But it's going to be hello eternal. I'm going to put off corruption. All those things, Lord, that used to tempt me. Those things that sometimes would bring me low. I'm going to put them all off. And I'm going to take on incorruptible. Isn't that sweet? All the sorrow, all the pain, whatever shame there's been, and it's going to be exceeding abundantly above all that I could ask or think. And I'm just going to swim in His love. Oh, the rest of my days. Oh, hallelujah. Now you know why you just groan, don't you? It's not old age, sister. It's not. I'm groaning for that new body. And it tells me in the Word of God that all of creation is groaning for this day. All of it. And what day is that? The day of the manifestation of the sons of God. I know I could ask everybody in this church, really. You wouldn't be here today if I asked you. I said, do you really believe that the Word of God is true? You'd say yes. I know you would. You would say yes, it is. What I preached to you today is the Word of God, and it is true. There's coming a time for the manifestation of the sons of God. It's the event of forever. It is the closing and the beginning moment for an age that we're never even going to even imagine. That He's going to bring them out, and He's going to show them. And He's going to make known to all that I have loved thee.
I have poured out my spirit on the day of Pentecost. But I have given a promise to my son. And he will have a bride. And she is making herself ready.
And while every head is bowed, we say, yay and amen. Yay and amen. Yay and amen. Oh, what a promise, Lord. Thank You for the effectual working of Your power. God, I sense believing today because it's the grace of God. And in Your name we say, amen. Amen.